some of them, and I wanted to share today something that I learned at a workshop about anxiety and using mindfulness to work with anxiety. And I think this might be relevant because even those of us who don't necessarily have an anxiety diagnosis, we have plenty of reason for anxiety right now. Yeah. And indeed, this technique works with any unpleasant emotion that's going on. But I do want to give credit to Rosalie Bostic and her two colleagues whose names I've forgotten. I didn't make this up myself, although it is within the UM system. When you have a challenging emotional situation to work with and you want to work with it with your meditation, there's two basic ways you can go with it. You can turn towards whatever is going on, focus on the unpleasantness and work with equanimity and allowingness and not fighting it and allowing it to dissipate. And that's one way of working with it. And the other way is to turn away and to anchor yourself on something else besides what's unpleasant. And these are both perfectly valid things to do. People tend to think that turning away is denial or running away. It's not that, because you still have to allow the unpleasantness to be in the background. You're not fighting it. You're not suppressing it. You're not denying it. But you are choosing to focus on something else that can give you a break from that unpleasantness. And if you can choose to focus away by watching a movie, which will give you a break for a couple of hours, or you can choose to focus away by doing a meditation technique, focusing on something else. And this will be strengthening your concentration, clarity, and equanimity skills while you are also doing active background equanimity with the unpleasantness. So instead of just running away from it, there's more of a likelihood that it will ease off and disperse a little bit so that you'll be able to, when you finish the period of focusing away, you'll be able to deal with whatever's coming up better without feeling as overwhelmed as you might have done before. The workshop that I'm going to borrow from looked at both techniques, and I will too, but I wanted to focus mainly on the first one that they did, the second one that I mentioned, which is to turn away, focus away. And this is something I've done before. The concept is not new to me, and typically I'll suggest something like focusing on, playing some music, meditating with the music, or listening to sounds like your cat meowing at you. This is a fine way of focusing away. But what was new about today's workshop was that Ro had us look, those of us who could, look out the window and look to the farthest horizon that we could see. And for those people who weren't able to see a horizon, they would sort of look through the wall and imagine what was beyond there, and allow their eyes to focus in the distance rather than on the wall. And then we just did basic see out, noticing that horizon, that distance, and focusing on that distance. And I was really struck by how significant the difference was. Hang on a second. I have to become the host again because I can't mute people anymore. Oh, well, Debbie, you're the host. You can meet people. Okay. Yeah, Debbie, you have to actually give me the host back. But don't worry about it. That doesn't matter. I was just trying to mute Marilyn over here and can't do that. But I was struck by what a huge difference it made between focusing away on something near, like the sounds in the room, thank you, and focusing far away to the distance. Both of them are focusing away from what's unpleasant, but focusing in the distance really felt like I was distancing myself from the unpleasantness. It wasn't just I was focusing on it something different, but I felt like I was far away from the emotions that were going on at the time. And so I thought that's what I particularly wanted to share, and I'll do some guidance when we get to 7 o'clock to do that. But then let's look also at the other ways of dealing with something that's unpleasant. You can look at it directly, which sometimes is the, you know, you just take the bull by the horns and do it head on. You focus on feel in, hear in, see in. So the physical sensations of the emotion, the physical part of it often being the most unpleasant, the part that drives you, the mental image and mental talk are the story that you create that goes with the image to sort of define the emotion. So you can just turn and look in directly at that, or look at each of those elements individually. Have equanimity with them as best you can, and allow them by looking at them individually instead of as a tangled up clump of emotion. You're looking at body sensation, visual thinking, auditory thinking. You're dividing it, and then each of those pieces is a little easier to handle individually. So that can be a way of working with the unpleasant. But then there's a middle ground, which is also something that I learned today. Because often, especially if you're dealing with something like anxiety, which is so intense, it can be, you know, not what you want to do to focus on it. And yet it can be helpful to get in touch with those elements. And so the middle ground is toggling back and forth between one and the other. And in the workshop, we stayed in the body. You could do this by toggling from see out on the horizon to feel in the emotion, see out, feel in. But in this formulation that I learned today, you're choosing a place in your body that is neutral or even relaxed. So maybe your hands resting in your lap, your earlobe, something that is not feeling anxious, that's not reacting to the emotion. Of course, this works for any unpleasant emotion. And that's like your safe place. And so you start there, and then you move into where the unpleasant emotion is appearing in your body. So say, for example, you had a tightness in your chest, but you wouldn't look directly at the core where it's really bad. You would look just on the periphery, just see if you can detect where it starts feeling unpleasant. And then just stay there. You don't have to go right into the center. And you stay there, look at it for a little while, and then go back to your safe place in your body. If a safe place in your body isn't going to work, if there's just too much going on in your body or whatever, then choose something outside to look at. You know, it can be the horizon, it can be a picture of someone you love, or it can be your teddy bear, just a safe place that you can go to, so that you're sort of touching on the edges of the intensity of the emotion, but you don't let yourself get sucked into it. As soon as it starts being too unpleasant, you go back to the pleasant thing that you can look at outside of your body, or to the safe place in your body if that works for you. And then you just sort of toggle back and forth, and that can, sort of desensitize the intensity. It's the center core of the feel in of the emotional sensation that sucks you in and captures you. And so by looking at the edges and then not getting sucked in, moving away as soon as you feel that danger, you can go back and forth and back and forth, hopefully that will start to ease off, disperse a little bit, or at least become more manageable. And you can do that for as long as you need to. And when that, if it's not working and it just gets too exhausting or too unpleasant, you can go back to focusing away, seeing out, hearing out, playing pleasant music and focusing on that, playing with your cats and focusing on the feel good that comes up from that. And then when you're ready, you can come back again to the edges and the toggling back and forth. And eventually something's going to happen. Either it's going to disperse and you'll be fine, or you will have gotten through your period of meditation. You'll have discovered a little bit more about what this unpleasant emotion is made of, and then you'll go back to your day, and you will have benefited in either case. I can't guarantee that it will always make the emotion ease off, but my experience and the reports I've heard from others is that it often does, because you're intentionally looking at individual parts and at the weaker parts. So the being sucked in, you are preventing that from catching you. So that's sort of the outline of the practice of how to deal with anything unpleasant, but especially things that are sucking you in and getting overwhelming you. I thought it was interesting that the Rose started off with a definition of anxiety, and she said it's just the body and mind's normal reaction to the unknown. It's built in through evolution. The problem is that for some of us, it becomes a driving force rather than a warning force. You know, or you're ready to run if the lion attacks, but you don't need to be that intense anymore because it's not a lion now. You know, it's whatever. So, you know, anxiety, and I would say depression, is probably, you know, for me, that's the bigger issue, is rooted in something that's natural. So we don't need to be judging ourselves about whatever emotions are coming up or whatever challenges we personally have. But we do need to learn how to not be overwhelmed and overcome by them. So that's my little spiel. Any questions or comments? And you will have to unmute yourself because I don't have that ability right now.
When she was going into bringing it in and dissecting it more, I thought that was kind of interesting of how she talked about, how they talk about taking apart everything, dissecting it. I haven't experienced that, so that was interesting to me.
Yeah, and that dissection is what I was saying about having the feel in, hear in, see in. The thinking about it and mm-hmm. the physical body emotion gets tangled up and knotted. And you have to dissect it to be able to take it.
Untangle it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. I'm the host now. Okay. Well, I better remember that happens when I leave the meeting. So, any other thoughts or shares or anything before we move into guidance? Is anyone finding themselves being, if not overwhelmed, troubled by unpleasant emotions at the moment? Maybe too many deadlines that you're trying to meet, or just not knowing what's going to happen next can really bring up some hard stuff. Yeah.
I've had three people in the past 3 days within 1 to 2 degrees of separation who have had entanglements with COVID.
Mm.
And so this is starting to come home.
Right. And what sort of emotions is that bringing up?
Depending on the person, whether I'm close to them or not, one is my grief counselor who's sick with COVID. Another is a friend of a friend who couldn't be taken into the hospital with his heart attack because the hospital in Las Vegas was too overwhelmed. Him I have little attachment to, but her I'm worried about.
Right.
Because it sounds like things in her sphere are loose. I don't know how safe she is. And the third person is an environmentalist who I knew from here in Arizona. He's back in Arkansas or Texas now. And a coworker of his came down with COVID. So he's getting tested and waiting. He's playing the waiting game. And he'll discover in a while whether he has it or not. He's had health problems in the last several years.
Right. Yeah, so that brings up all sorts of stuff. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the worry about friends. You're going to have plenty to work with in the next 25 minutes. So shall we go ahead and get started, or does anyone have anything else you want to throw into the mix?